Good morning. Welcome to Lakeside Church's online worship service. I'm Christian Becker, and I welcome you today in Jesus' name. We're claiming again today Jesus' promise that where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. God wants to meet with you today, and he will meet your need. I remember reading some time ago about an online church that only met online. It was something new, and it reached people that may never go into a church building. It seemed odd at the time, but now it's the new normal. You know, and it's possible that we may reach new people also. Be sure to tell your friends, neighbors, and family about the sermon section of our website where we post these services. If you have Facebook, remember to share the service announcement on the church's Facebook page to your page by clicking on the share button there at the bottom. And remember to stay in touch over the phone and on Facebook and check up on each other and your neighbors. We're still Lakeside Church. We pray for each other. We help each other. Now, if you haven't liked our Facebook page, please look it up and like it. There are more than 200 folks connected to our church there. We can use it. We can use Facebook Messenger to post encouragement and communicate with each other. And let me know if I can help you set it up or if you have questions about it. Also, please send me a message through our website or Facebook, or you can call me if you have a prayer request. We love all of you. We miss seeing you. And this situation is not going to last, folks. While it does last, though, let's remember to stay in touch with each other and pray for our leaders and those that are ill, our community and our church family. Now let's turn our hearts toward worship. And let's think about worshiping our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we're to speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Last time we watched the song, Blessed Be Your Name, and it has some testimonies in it. This week we have a more upbeat version, and I encourage you to sing along and praise our faithful God.
Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. When I'm found in the desert place, when I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will sing. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name. When the sun when the world's all as it should be, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. On the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away. You give. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
Let's now turn our hearts toward prayer. Almighty God and our Heavenly Father, we bless your name today. You have not treated us as our sins deserve. Instead, you have shown us mercy and grace and everlasting love. Thank you for safely bringing us through another week, for providing for our needs, for walking with us through our trials, and sometimes carrying us as the Good Shepherd. Lord, we pray for our leaders today. We think of our president, and our senators, and our congressmen and women. Think of our governors. We think of those in the healthcare field, the first responders. Lord, we pray for wisdom for all of these and protection. We pray for a breakthrough, Lord, in treating this virus. Please be with those who are suffering illness, their loved ones. We pray for comfort for those that have lost loved ones. We thank you for the comfort and assurance that is ours in Christ. Lord, we pray for ourselves today, that you would minister to us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. While we're unable to meet together, thank you for continuing to support Lakeside Church with the Lord's tithes and your offerings. The Bible says, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." Like many churches, we like to sing the doxology after we give the Lord's tithes and our offerings. And even though we're not together in the church building, let's sing it like we were. Now, before we turn to the Word of God, let's briefly talk again to the God of the Word. Father in heaven, please guide our thoughts and my words in the next few moments, that we may make much of Jesus and be drawn closer to him. For I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last time we began thinking about the next step that God wants us to take after we accept the message of the cross and of Easter. The Easter message was that since Jesus has risen, faith in Christ brings forgiveness of sin and eternal life. And for the Christian, death is not the final word now. Christ's resurrection guarantees that those who put their trust in him will go to heaven when they die. I encourage you to go to the website, to the sermon section, if you missed those messages, and listen to them. I think you'll be encouraged. Now, I began last week by asking, do you have someone that you can always count on? Someone who will never let you down. They're always there for you. They do what they promise. You know, finding someone you can always count on is difficult, but when you do, it is a wonderful thing. Folks, I want to tell you something. You can always count on Jesus Christ. He is the only one who will never let you down. Today we're continuing to look at the four things that Jesus will always do for you. Four things he will always do for you. If you have a Bible, I invite you to turn to the 21st chapter of the Gospel of John. The event that John describes here happens soon after the cross and the resurrection of Jesus. And it answers a question the disciples must have asked, and it's one that we need to think about too. That question is this: what's next? Once we believe and claim Jesus the Christ as our Savior and Lord, what do we do now? What comes next has to do with the four things that Jesus Christ will always do for you. And if you have a red-letter edition of the Bible, these four things are from the four statements of Jesus that you see there in chapter 21 in red letters. Let me begin reading at verse 1 of chapter 21. I'm going to be using the English Standard Version. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. That's the Sea of Galilee. And he revealed himself in this way: Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." And they said to him, "We will go with you." They went out, got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" And they answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it. Now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved, therefore, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and he threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place, with fish laid out on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you've just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. This is the word of the Lord. All right, let's do a quick review. Last time we saw that the first thing that Jesus will always do for you is that Jesus will remind you of what he said. He'll remind you of what he told you. Now, what did the disciples just do? What did Peter say? Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "Well, we'll go with you." And they went out and got in the boat. But that night they caught nothing. And in verse 5, Jesus asks, "Friends, haven't you caught any fish?" Of course, he knew they hadn't. And he used this as a reminder to them that he had called them from fishing, the fishing business. And he called them from that to be what? Fishers of men. Fishers of men. That's right. Jesus had called them. He had called them away from fishing to be fishers of men. And we saw a principle last week here. If Jesus brings you out of something, be careful about going back into it. Jesus, I believe, was indirectly reminding them that they were called to go into all the world and preach the good news of the gospel about his death, burial, and resurrection, and salvation from sin and new life. Because you see, Jesus will always remind us of what he said. And I think Jesus is also reminding us here of our mission. God has called Christians to be fishers of men and to fulfill the Great Commission. The Great Commission says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And friends, the path that God has put you on, that's the path that will help you complete your mission. So first we saw that Jesus will always remind you of what he said. The second thing we saw last time is that Jesus will, what he will always do for you is he will always give you good advice. Jesus will always tell you what you need to hear. Look at verse 6. Jesus said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." Some what? Some fish. So they cast it. Now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. Last time we saw that we always need God's help. I don't care how much you think you know, you and I always need God's guidance. We can't figure out on our own what God will tell us, and that's why we have the Bible. And many times, you need to put yourself around other believers also, not just for worship, but for something like an adult Bible fellowship class or a home Bible study, a place where you'll have friends, brothers and sisters in Christ to whom you can pour out your heart. And they'll pray with you and believe with you and encourage you, and God can use them to direct you. Because you see, Jesus will do the same thing for you that he did for his disciples. He will always give you good advice. May not be the advice you want to hear, but it will be what you need to hear. Now, last time we looked at some of the advice that Jesus has already given us. Things like where God says to us, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Jesus said, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you." And then he says, "Ask and it will be given you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened unto you." You know, sometimes the reason we have problems as God's children is because we aren't doing what we should do. The prophet Ezra says, "Rise up and what? Do it." You know, the story goes that the new pastor arrived in town and preached the same sermon 3 weeks in a row. It was a great sermon, but after the third week, the congregation was kind of concerned about his mental health. And so the official board called a hasty meeting, and they asked the deacons to please speak to the pastor. But the deacons decided to just wait one more week. Fourth week, same sermon. People were saying, yeah, well, we heard this before, same old, same old. So the deacons went to see the pastor first thing on Monday morning. After exchanging pleasantries, the new pastor asked what the purpose of their visit was. The head deacon cleared his throat and he said, "Well, Pastor, the church is kind of concerned that you're preaching the same sermon over and over. Were you aware that you've repeated it 4 Sundays in a row?" The new pastor smiled and he replied, he said, "Yes, I am." The deacon asked, "Pastor, is that all you know?" And the pastor said, "No, but until you and the other members start obeying what Jesus said, I'm going to keep preaching it." And you know, for a pastor, that's very tempting. But sometimes, you know, we're looking for some new kind of revelation from God, but we don't need to hear something new. We need to be reminded of what we already know but aren't doing, don't we? Okay, first, Jesus will always remind you of what he said. Second, he will always give you good advice. The third thing that Jesus will always do for you is that Jesus will recognize your efforts. He'll recognize what you have done. In verse 10, Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." Now, sometimes we forget we have a part to play in this journey. Jesus will recognize your efforts, but your efforts alone are not good enough to get you where he wants to take you. He wants to take you to places you've never been before. Do you realize that? God has a plan for your life, a good plan. And that's not just a saying. That's a reality. If the Christians in this world would take it to heart. And if we would take it to heart, we'd begin to see people transformed by the power of God. Not in church, but on the job, in the school, on the streets. Because God wants to use you, my friend. But here's the problem. We don't believe it. Someone will say, "Oh, Pastor, not me. You don't know what I've been through." I don't care what you've been through. Now please don't misunderstand me. For you to say that God can't use you means that you're saying God is not able to use me. But that's not the message of the Bible. The Bible says that he is able. Jesus will recognize your efforts, but your efforts alone are not enough. He also wants you to completely rely on him, and that takes faith. Do you know what the disciples would have eaten for breakfast if Jesus didn't show up that day? Probably nothing. They would have gone hungry. But Jesus did show up. He guided them to where they needed to be. He blessed them and recognized their efforts. He said, "Bring some of the fish you just caught." Jesus will do that. In fact, the Bible tells us that there will come a day when we'll stand before Jesus to give an account of our life. And he'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. You know what that tells me? It tells me that God will recognize my efforts and yours. But our efforts alone are not enough. I need him, and so do you. Look with me at verse 11. It says they caught 153 large fish. With that many large fish, it's a miracle that the net didn't break. John wouldn't have written that if it weren't surprising to him as a fisherman. And I believe that it was a sign to them that Jesus was going to use them to bring in an overwhelming spiritual harvest in the days ahead, one that they would never believe on their own. And so Jesus will always remind you of what he said. He will always give you good advice, and he will acknowledge your own efforts. The last thing that Jesus will do, always do for you, is Jesus will invite you to share his provision. He'll invite you to share what he's going to provide for you. Jesus said to them in verse 12, come and have breakfast. Now, I want you to think of the times when you don't have enough. Enough patience, enough forgiveness, enough love, enough joy, enough peace, enough gentleness, enough kindness, enough self-control. Jesus invites you and me to share in his provision. And his provision is without limit. It's endless. It's bottomless. I used to love that word, bottomless. I remember when restaurants served a bottomless cup of coffee. You know what that meant? That meant you could get as many refills as you wanted. And Jesus' provision for your life and mine, those provisions are bottomless. What does the Bible say? It says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Wow, that's exciting. You can't use up all he has for you, but you can have fun trying. Trust and believe him today. He never runs out. Let me ask you, what have you run out of today? I tell you what, I could give you a list of things that I'm in need of, and most of it is nothing that you could give me. I have to trust God. You know what's interesting is John 21 is the last time we see these fishermen fishing for fish. The last time that Peter, Andrew, James, and John were in a boat. They were raised on a boat. That's all they knew. And Jesus asked them to leave that, to follow him and become fishers of men. Jesus changed the direction of their future. They would no longer do the only thing that up until then they knew to do. Now I want you to think about what you're doing today. Because this message today goes beyond just talking about what Jesus will always do. This right here is where it touches your life and mine. Some of you are in a place today where you don't think you'll ever escape. Maybe it's a job or at home. You're in a place where you don't want to be and you can't see beyond that. But the Bible shows us that there could come a time in life where there is a divine change of direction and everything will change. I believe that this may be talking about someone listening to me today. Jesus is calling you to make a change. You've come to a place in life where it's time for a change. Maybe the same thing that you've done all your life and you think it's the only thing you can do is going to be so far removed from you, and God is going to take you to a new place, a different place. Maybe you'd say, well, Brother Becker, I don't know. I've been doing this job for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, but I feel like there's something more. I feel like I should be doing something else. I feel like I could make a difference for eternity. And you know what? You're right. You know what that is? That's a holy discontent. Something God has put there. It's the same sense that God used to point me to ministry. It's kind of like Popeye in the cartoon when he says, that's all I can stand, I can't stand no more. God stirs you up. He wants to take you to a place you don't know about. A place where you're uncomfortable, a place where you haven't figured out all the details. And you don't know how you're going to live if you do it. But it's about trusting God. And you think, boy, that's a pretty dangerous thing to begin telling people. I mean, what if they begin to trust God and it doesn't work out? Let me tell you, if you begin to trust God and it doesn't work out, do you know what that means? Folks, God is bigger than your problem and mine. I don't have to have it figured out. I've seen God provide. He's faithful. And he's not going to lose his reputation on you or me. I'm standing on faith in the God of the universe. And sometimes faith is a scary place to be because I don't have all the details worked out. No, I can't put all the pieces of your life back together, my friend. Our lives fall apart. We have a God who can put it back together. Are you going to believe in yourself and what you can do? Or are you going to believe in God and what he can do through you? I want you to live with the expectation that today could be the very last day you do what you've been doing. Tomorrow, God may have something else in mind. Someone might say, well, Brother Becker, I don't want anything else. I'm happy where I am. Well, that's fine. You may have a close friend or a family member who needs your encouragement to follow God. Someone may turn to you and might say, well, you know what? God is taking me to a new place. And you may say, well, he's not doing that with me. But let me come alongside of you. Can I pray with you? Can I pray for you? Can I give you a call this week and see how it's going? You see, we need each other. Well, we've seen that Jesus' ministry didn't end with his resurrection. And it doesn't end when you're born again and experience Easter in your heart either. Remember what Jesus will always do for you. He will always remind you of what he said. He will give you good advice. Jesus will acknowledge your efforts, and he will invite you to share in his provision. Now, maybe you'd say, well, Pastor, this isn't really new. I've heard this before. Let me ask you this. What have you done about it? What's the next step that God is waiting for you to take? Will you take it? Is he waiting for you to trust him for the first time? To admit that you're a sinner? To trust Jesus to save you and confess him as your Lord? You might say, well, it's scary. I know. But Jesus will never let you down. Christian friend, let me ask you this. Are you at a crossroads in life? Is God asking you to trust him for something beyond what you've imagined? Start believing that Jesus will do these four things for you. He will show up. Is your next step to move closer to him? Is it to begin some new ministry? Is God maybe calling you to follow him somewhere else, away from family and friends, to a new place of ministry or a new job? Whatever it is, Jesus will never let you down. I want you to remember that your decision to obey God today will determine your destiny for the rest of your life. Will you trust him today for something that maybe you think is impossible? And then let me ask you this. If Jesus will always do these four things for you, then what are you willing to do for him? If Jesus will always do these four things for you, what are you willing to do for Jesus? Will you believe that he'll meet you at your point of need today, in that place of chaos that you find yourself? Because he will meet you there. Now, if you're here and you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and you want to start one today, you know you need him, you want him in your life to do those four things, then tell God. Put your trust in him today to save you from yourself. If you will admit that you're a sinner, that you need a Savior, put your trust in Jesus, believe in him and what he did for you on the cross, that he died for your sin, that his death pays the penalty for your sin, and that in rising from the dead, he gives you new life. If you will believe in him and call on him today to save you, the Bible says today you could become a child of God. It doesn't matter how bad your life is. Come just as you are, and Jesus will meet you there. Christian friend, do you want to recommit your life to Christ today? Maybe you've strayed away. You know things need to change. Maybe you haven't been obeying the Lord and you hear him calling you to trust him in a new way. You're serious about living for him and obeying him. You've made a decision today. In your heart right now, tell God about your decision. Tell him what you're doing. He is waiting for you. He loves you more than you can imagine, and waiting to forgive you and welcome you home. All right, let's close in prayer. Lord, I pray that your people will be able to let go of things in their lives that are holding them back. They will read your word daily and talk to you, ask you to open their eyes to see what you have for them and how you want them to live. I pray that today will be a day of transformation. Thank you, Lord, for your patience, for your purpose with us in our lives. Lord Jesus, we want to live for you, not just for your blessing, but for your favor, for your love. Thank you for all you've done for us. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, for a closing song, I'd like to play Just a Closer Walk with Thee. And as you watch this video, I hope that you will make this your prayer.
Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. Let me walk close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. This world of toil and snares. Oh, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden shares? None but thee, dear Lord, none but thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be. Life is o'er. Time for me will be no more. Oh, guide me gently, safely o'er to thy kingdom shore, to thy shore. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea.
close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. May God bless you and keep you, and Lord willing, I'll be back again next week right here. And remember to listen to the Bible. It's great for your soul.